I'm Jen Bolkoa with California Breathing, and I'm with the state asthma program. And I'm going to pass around the toolkit that served the basis for the training that we did for you to look at. I'm happy to give it away because it's really heavy, but wait till the end, and then if you want it, and so that everybody has a chance to kind of look at it and see what I'm talking about. I'll start with you, Derek. I promise, I have no financial gain. So in our presentation today, I'm going to give you sort of a background on developing of the toolkit. I'll briefly describe the training and our training goals because it's linked to the questions that we asked with our evaluation and findings from the evaluation and then some discussion. I won't go really into detail about the nuances of the toolkit or how you're supposed to use the toolkit. If you're interested in those things, you can always ask me afterwards. So we all know that asthma is very prevalent in schools, and for children with asthma, it can really lead to a lot of negative outcomes, disruption in sleep, the ability, a lost ability to concentrate, erratic in behavior and irritability. And then in California, so you have all of these impacts on the child, and it's probably the same in other states, but in California, it's sort of the issues are compounded because we have such a shortage of school nurses in California. And so you've got one nurse who's responsible for thousands of students, for example. It's really impossible to expect nurses to be on the first line of identifying symptoms and managing. And so it really calls for a state-level response. And in California, one of the things that we decided to do, like several other states, was develop a toolkit, an education toolkit, for school staff. So not education for the children, but for the people who care for children during the day in school. Other states have them, Minnesota, Connecticut, Michigan, just to name a few. And then, of course, you've got national programs like the EPA Tools for Schools and the Asthma Friendly Toolkit that the American Lung Association puts out. So the toolkit development was spearheaded by the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation, and they were really good about bringing together a large work group of stakeholders. California Breathing played a large role in some of the various work groups and also on the advisory committee that guided the process along. They conducted focus groups and tested early versions. And then you see you've got a happy boy whose asthma is under control, right? Because everybody knows about asthma. And it's the toolkit is going around so you can see what's in it. So this toolkit, it provided nurses with resources for training school staff. I mean, we kind of thought about it as a time saver, and we'll come back to that concept of time. Because if you can teach other people to manage their environments, you know, give the teacher some tools for controlling this classroom environment, give the PE coach tools for more effectively engaging children with asthma in physical fitness activities. You know, you lessen the burden on the nurse to run from school to school, checking on students who are coming into the office to use their inhaler or having full-blown attacks at school. It is in a couple of different languages, English and Spanish, and of course we promote the CDC model of coordinated school health. I mean, that's the whole idea of engaging everybody at the school site in managing symptoms. So the toolkit was developed in 2005, but it was really underutilized. By the time the toolkit got printed, and it turned out to be really costly. And so they didn't really have a lot of time. And the process, of course, when you engage a ton of stakeholders, you really have to allow time for input and buy-in. And so the project period was ending, there wasn't a lot of funding left, and so they did sort of the best thing that they could do, which was they took they mailed the toolkits to nurses that belonged to our state's school nurse organization. And yet, not every school nurse belongs to this organization. So it's a voluntary organization. And when you talk to people, when you go to meetings, people, they look at it and you'll see it's massive. It's hard to, it seems unwieldy. And unless you really get into it and know how to use it, you're going to look at it and you're going to go, okay, great, and throw it in a drawer because it's just, it feels too cumbersome. And so we had a couple questions. We had really participated in, California Breathing had participated in putting this toolkit together, and we really had an interest as a state asthma program in seeing it used. And sort of as one of our tools. And so these two questions, is there a better way to get the toolkit actually into the hands of the nurses, and can we actually get them to use it once they have it? Those were some of the things that we decided were the questions we wanted to answer with our intervention. So we embarked on a year-long project, and we did trainings across the state, and our goals for the training were fairly simple. We really wanted to have our participants really understand why they needed to spend some of their very precious time educating others about asthma. We wanted them to really understand what the toolkit was all about and how it was designed to be used, and sort of demystify it a little bit. And then we wanted to engage the participants in developing strategies for the use on the at the school site. So by the end of the training, we managed to reach almost 300 school personnel, primarily nurses and some health assistants, but also we had a few coaches, and we had a couple principals, which I was really heartened to see. And then, of course, some of our allies in the local communities. And we chose these cities based on what our surveillance data told us, which is that there was a higher burden in these areas. And it's also a mix of, if you don't know California, it's not just the urban population centers. We also went out to the Central Valley and up into Northern California, both places where the populations are either smaller or a lot more spread out. So through these trainings, we provided a context for the toolkit. We gave out lots of information. So they had the toolkit, but we also wanted to make sure that people that came to the trainings were connecting to their local resources, and so that was a big emphasis as well. We spent an intensive review going through each page of the toolkit so people understood what it was and how it could be used and why it was important. And then we also devoted a lot of the day to group discussion and problem solving, because we really wanted the strategies that we developed. We didn't want to tell people, this is how you should use the toolkit. We really wanted people to actively engage in decision making for themselves, because we felt like if they came up with the solutions, they're more likely to use it in at the school site. And then we challenged them to set goals at the end of the day. And this is just a form that we included, and we asked for some short-term goals at 3 months and then a year goal. And our plan was and we accomplished it, was to follow up at 3 months and at a year, reminding them that they had said they wanted to do these things, they wanted to use the toolkit in certain ways, and just following up to see if they had done it. So at the training, we, of course, did training day evaluations, and we succeeded in one of our goals, which was to really get people to learn more about the toolkit. 93% of the participants felt that all of the objectives for the day were met, and as you can see, we have really high rates of knowledge gain by the end of the training day. But we still had this big question left to answer, right? Remember, Ty asked you a couple questions up here at the beginning of my talk. And sure, it's great to come to a training and learn all about something, but are you actually going to use the toolkit once you get back to your school sites? So at 3 months later, we sent out a survey, and we had a 41% response rate, which was pretty good. We offered Target cards, so never underestimate the power of Target to get people to return things. But as you can see, at 3 months, people had started to use the toolkit, and they had actually taken it back and started to use it. 60% reported learning something new from the toolkit, and the majority of people used it to educate 5 or 10 people at their school sites, but there were a few who took it to back to school nights and gave information to the parents. And we had one star who is in charge of 20 Head Start programs, and she went out and she educated every single person at, did in-services at all 20 locations. And so by 3 months, at least, 1,142 additional people had gotten information about asthma through the toolkit. And at that point, 70% felt like, yeah, they're on target for reaching their long-term goals. And then at a year, we sent it again, and we were pretty happy with what we got back. We didn't have quite as high a response rate. We had 29%, but we still felt like that was pretty good, considering it was a year out. And 70% had achieved one or more of their long-term goals, and a third of the people who had the toolkit had used it more than 5 times in the last year. And that, to us, we consider that success. And then 32% of the school staff who received the education, so again, almost a third, actually changed some of the ways that they addressed asthma. So that was good. We had a lot of people really focus on PE teachers and so they were doing more to have the inhalers handy, and that sort of thing. And then if you come up to the top here, you can see policies were updated. So in California, we got a self-carry law, but a lot of schools still weren't implementing it. And so a lot of people really focused on making sure that their school's policies around asthma were still up to date. So I think it's no surprise what the top barriers were in using the toolkit. The fact that time was one of the biggest issues that people had. I mean, it clearly shows you the extent of the problem we have. Just anecdotally, like my son's nurse, he won't get to the school until January to do even the stuff that's required by law, the hearing and the vision test, And so when you've got a school district that's so impacted, with things that it takes more, almost the entire school year to just do the required stuff, you realize that time is a really big issue. And so one of the things, of course, we have to continue to look at is really making this compelling enough that people understand that making the link between communicating about asthma to people and saving them time and helping them increase their ability to care for the kids who really need it. So is there a better way? And we think yes. And some of the things that we think made it helpful was this intensive review. Our evaluation showed that people really loved being able to sort of sit there and go through it and think about it. And having this in-person training, you know, where you could, where it was interactive, where you could answer questions, where you connected people to the toolkit, seemed to be really important for sort of increasing the energy around using this toolkit. And then the second question, once that happens, can we get them to use it as intended? Yes. And so we think one of the things that some of the things that really helped us make that happen was allowing the participants to take ownership for developing the strategies that they wanted to implement in their schools, and then challenging them to take those strategies and actually move them forward and implement them in the school site and following up. Questions? In the back, and then you. We offered for nurses. We were able to offer those. And just to get people there, we offered them free of charge. So.
Because that's often a very good incentive.
It is.
We also found out that offering workshops at the annual state school nurse conference.
Yeah, and we did. We offered nursing CEUs because we were asking them to devote an entire day, you know, time. And we wanted it to be something that we didn't want. We wanted them to get a lot out of it, and so we did. Yeah.
The process to decrease this number for comparing for students out of 30 students. There is opportunity to the nurse to discover the probability of having asthma, giving someone made that child smoking or have smoking or have the risk of having asthma, like home and parent, the industry and the hazard.
Well. Yeah, I mean, the goal of this toolkit was really just to give the nurses resources for educating others about asthma. And so the information in the toolkit is really basic, information, but there is a section in it for parents, and they do talk about things like smoking and chemicals that they might use in the home that sensitize the child, you know, to sort of make that linkage. Does that get at what you're asking?
Yes.
So
the risk of
having symptoms, yeah.
Even for those students who have not asthma really, or the normal students, still we need to save them
from developing.
Yes.
Developing yeah.
And how the nurse is going to access the information about the probability of asthma giving someone or
I'm not sure if I'm understanding it. You're talking about primary prevention here in terms of developing onset asthma. So the toolkit doesn't really address primary prevention in terms of presenting the onset of asthma. Yeah. We work on other projects that are related to that, but this particular one it does not really address that. It's really about managing environments so that they're safer for students with asthma and dealing with symptoms when they occur, so after the asthma diagnosis is already in place. Yes? That's good questions. Okay, thank you.